سخنران امشب تهران ای ای که جلسه رسمی ثبت شده دفتر خدمات جهانی و زیر نظر نایه 15 الگوری های گمنام در تهران است، آقای تیوای از کشور امریکا با هوشیاری 39 سال و مترجم امشب آقای رایان هستند. موضوع جلسه هم هست قدم 12 با بیداری روحانی حاصل برداشتن این قدم ها. سعی کردیم این پیام را به الکلی های دیگر برسانیم و این اصول را در تمام امور زندگی خود به اجرا درآوریم. ضمن خوش آمد به این دو عزیز، من میکروفون تیوای رو باز کنم.
Hi TY, this is Ryan here. I supposed to translate your share tonight. And the subject is موضوع جلسه چی بود؟ قدم 12.
Yeah.
The subject is 12 step. And we've got 45 minutes together. We have to be realistic about the splitting time between us. If you give me time to just translate the way makes sense for our Iranian fellows. Stage is yours now.
Okay, my name is Ty, and I'm a real alcoholic. And did I hear you, Ryan? Did I hear you say that there's subject or the subject?
Yeah, subject is 12, step 12, passing the message to suffering alcoholic.
Okay, great. Step 12 is the thing that guides my life these days, because it encapsulates the whole program of Alcoholics Anonymous. I like the way that step 12 begins, where it says, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And I think it's, for me, it's very important that to read it exactly like it says, having had a spiritual awakening as the result, that means it is one result, only one result from the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, and that is having a spiritual awakening.
Yeah. I need to just be realistic. I need to just go part by part of your share. I'm just making a note, but if you give me time to translate this somehow. اسم من تیوای هست. من یک الکلی واقعی هستم. قدم 12 قدم بسیار مهمی تو زندگی من و عنوانش رو من خیلی برای من مهمه و اینکه میگه ما با برداشتن این قدم های 12 به بیداری روحانی رسیدیم. این خیلی مهمه که برداشتن این قدم ها محصل بیداری روحانی محصل برداشتن قدم هاست و نتیجهش خیلی مهمه، این که کار کردشون پیام دادن به بازده.
Okay, I drank it. I drank alcohol for 30 years, and for 30 years I drank alcohol because I liked what alcohol did for me. I liked the way it made me feel. Alcohol always made me feel better. Regardless of how I was feeling before I drank, alcohol made me feel better. And towards the end of my drinking, when I was drinking just to live, to survive, it still made me feel better because I'd wake up in the morning, I could have a horrible hangover, a big headache, feeling nauseous, feeling sick. And alcohol, when I drank it, would make me feel better. So it never stopped making me feel better right up until the end when I had to stop drinking.
من برای 30 سال الکل نوشیدم. اثر الکل رو من عاشق اثر الکل هستم به بدن خودم. نوعی که به احساسات من تاثیر میذاره من خیلی برای من هیجان انگیزه. من همیشه از خوردن الکل احساس بهتری داشتم و من رو تبدیل میکرد از یه آدم خیلی ناخوش احوالی به یه آدمی که احساس خوب به زندگی داشتم. به من زندگی و حیات داد. من یادم خیلی از صبح بلند میشدم با یه حالت زیاده روی الکل شب قبل، بکنم تو دوره ما میگفتن نسخ، صبح خب بلند میشدی همه چیز زهرمارگی، با اون احساس بلند میشدم و باز با تمام این اوصاف موقعی که الکل میخوردم همه چی درست میشد. من الکل رو همیشه داشت لذت بردم تا نقطه‌ای که دیگه داشت دخلم رو میبرد که مجبور شدم که متوقفش کنم.
I didn't know that alcohol had a different effect for me than it had on any other person. I always thought that everybody felt the same way when they drank alcohol, and I didn't know that non-alcoholics did not react to it the same way I did. I had an unnatural reaction that caused me to just, for alcohol to just erase all of the problems, it take everything away. It would take away my worries about my family, my bills, my everything else. I could just forget about them when I drank. And as a result of that, I came to learn after I got sober that all the time that I was drinking and not knowing what it was doing to me, it was also stealing my spirit. It was stealing my soul. It was taking away all my morals, all of the good things that I learned growing up. Don't lie, don't steal, don't cheat. I forgot all about those. And alcohol was just taking away my spirit, taking away my very soul.
Yeah, a nice one. من نمیدونستم که الکل تأثیر متفاوتی روی بدن من داره. فکر میکردم که همه آدمایی که الکل میخورن مثل منه و نمیدونستم که ریاکشن بدن یه آدم الکلی با یه آدم غیر الکلی کاملا متفاوته. من اینو تو برنامه یاد گرفتم که من موقعی که الکل میخوردم یاد گرفتم که تمام مشکلات من اهم از هم زندگی مشترک، بدهی، گرفتاری، مسائل خونه، ملکی، هر چی که داشتم با خوردن الکل همیشه یادم میرفت و من یاد گرفتم که یعنی متوجه شدم که الکل روزانه احساس و روح من رو روان من رو میدوزید از من.
For most of the time that I was drinking, I had very good jobs. Alcohol for a long time did not interfere with my work, and I was able to do very well with it. I had a successful 4-year career in the United States Air Force. After that, I became a policeman in the city of Los Angeles, and I was there for 6 years as a policeman. And after being a policeman, I went to work for an insurance company and had successful 14 years working for that company. All this time, my superiors never knew what alcohol was doing to me. They didn't know that I was stealing time from them. They didn't know that I was stealing time from my family. I had a beautiful wife. I had 2 beautiful children. But alcohol started stealing time away from my wife and my children and the work that I was supposed to be doing. Alcohol was taking away little bits of my life, one piece at a time. And like I said, every time it took a piece of my life, it took a piece of my soul.
من خیلی شغل خوبی داشتم برای طولانی تو تمام مدتی که من الکل می‌خوردم یه آدم خیلی آدم بودم که توی نیروی هوایی شغل خیلی خوب داشتم خدمت بعد اومدم برای سالیان سال پلیس شدم خیلی آدم موفق بودم بعد تو شرکت بیمه خیلی آدم موفق بودم تو تمام این 30 سال من و هیچ کس نمی‌دونست که من دارم چه کاری می‌کنم و دریغ از این که خودم هم نمیدونستم من روزانه دارم زمان این کمپانی ها رو میدوستم با این که مجبورم ترک حالا منظورش این بودی که باید زمان میذاشتم برای الکل زمان از خانوادم از کارم از اجتماع هم روزانه میدوزیدم الکل به صورت روزانه یه ذره از زندگی من کش میرفت یه چیزی رو و بعدها فهمیدم هر روز یه تیکه از روح و روان من رو داره با خودش
When I got near to the end of my drinking, I quit that job that I had with that insurance company because I thought that the pressures of that job was what was making me drink more and more. I thought I was having too much pressure and that was causing me to drink. And so I quit that job. And after I quit that job, I was just hustling on the street in order to make a living. I had some friends who were kind of shady characters, and we got involved in a whole lot of shady practices, many of them which could have sent us all to prison. It was by the grace of God that I didn't go to prison. But what I did was, like I said, I was just losing my soul. And finally, I got to the point where I thought that nothing good was ever going to happen to me again. I got sick enough that I checked into a hospital at one time to try and get help with my drinking. And the only thing I really learned from that hospital was that when you drink the way that I drink, 2-3 quarts of alcohol a day, that pretty soon you're going to have seizures and you're going to have convulsions and you're going to die. And I decided that that was what I needed to do. And I made a decision that I was going to drink myself to death.
من اون شغل آخری که داشتم تو اداره بیمه تصور من بود که تمام بدبختی من از اینه که اداره بیمه مدل کارش اینجوری برای من استرس میاره و چون برای من فشار رو من زیاده شغل این شغله که باعث میشه که من اینقدر الکل بخورم. در نتیجه از اون شغل استفاده دادم، گفتم از اینجا میرم بیرون و شروع کردم. شما حساب کنید اومدم توی امریکا تو کف خیابون دنبال یه بیزینسی هم که بتونم پول در بیارم. من با بیزینس‌های مختلفی این بورس شدم درگیر شدم که خیلی خیلی میتونست خطرناک بشه برای من و من میتونستم برم زندان، ولی خوشبختانه من زندان نرفتم و به یه نقطه رسیدم و متوجهم که هیچ چیزی بنز کافی خوب نیست. تا سر از بیمارستان درآوردم به خاطر مصرف مشروب خوردن خیلی زیاد و توی بیمارستان هم گفتن اگه به این مدلی که تو داری عرق می‌خوری یا الکل می‌خوری یا هر چیزی احتمالاً دچار اختلالات درونی خواهی شد و یه رو سکتر میزنی. و اون لحظه دست تصمیم گرفتم، بهترین تصمیم هم بود که برم اینقدر بنوشم تا بمیرم.
So in 1982, in January of 1982, I holed up in my apartment with the full intention of just drinking myself to death. And for 6 weeks, all I did was I drank as much vodka as I could in the periods of being awake. I was drinking 2 or 3 quarts of vodka a day. And now all I was doing was drinking until I passed out. When I came to, I would already be shaking and sick, and I'd grab the bottle and drink till I passed out again. And every time that I passed out, I was just hoping that I wouldn't wake up again. I did not want to wake up. I just wanted to be able to pass out and have it all over and done with, because I just knew I couldn't keep on going that way. And I did that for 6 weeks until the last day that I drank, I was headed down to the liquor store to get some more liquor to get me through the next period of being awake. And I fell down right in the street in front of my apartment.
سال 1982 تو جانوری سال 82 من تصمیم گرفتم که برم توی خونه انقدر بنوشم تا بمیرم، زندگی به شکلی به این شکل پایان بدم. و من به مدت 6 هفته تو خونه فقط زدم. روزی حداقل نزدیک 1 لیتر ودکا رو خوردم تا صدها بار چپ میکردم و هر دفعه میگفتم که امیدوارم که فردا صبح بیدار نشم. این چیز من بود. و بعد از 6 هفته آخرین روز یادم که رفتم اون جایی که می میفروشن، رفتم سر کوچه و موقعی که برگشتم جلوی خونم من افتادم کف زمین.
I had fallen down before when I was drinking, but this was the first time that I had fallen down and I couldn't get back up. Like trying to get back up, and I just kept flopping back down in the middle of the street. I looked like a fish out of water, just flopping around in the middle of the street. And I had to crawl out of the street on my hands and knees in order to get out of the street. And I sat down on the curb looking back at the apartment where I live. And that was when I didn't take step one, but step one happened to me at that point. Because I was sitting there on the curb, looking back at the apartment, and I realized just horrible thought in my head that I wasn't going to die. I knew in my head that things were just going to keep on being at the way where they were, and they were going to get worse. And that was when step one happened to me, and I knew that I didn't have the power to even to use alcohol to kill myself, that alcohol had more power than I had. And then right behind that came the thought, maybe AA could help if I really gave it a try. Because I'd been to many AA meetings, but I'd never taken one of the steps, never done anything they said to do. And that day I thought maybe AA could help if I really gave it a try. And that's when I think step two happened to me.
اولین برای من تو اولین بار تو زندگیم بود که یه جای خورده بودم زمین که واقعا دیگه نمیتونستم بلند شم. هیچ وقت زندگی اینجوری نشده بود که بیفتم زمین و چهار دست پا بشم نتونم روی پاهام بیستم. و شده بودم مثل ماهی که از تنگش بیرون افتاده. یه همچین احساسی رو داشتم. و اون روز اون لحظه که چهار دست پا رو زمین بودم و خودم رو کنترل کردم، لبه جدول خونه نشستم، برای من قدم یک اتفاق افتاد. و تو اون قدم یک اتفاقی که افتاد متوجه شدم که کله من به شدت و به شدت علاقه داره من بکوشه و در این حالم دنبال یه راه حل برای موضوع، ولی در کل خیلی خیلی قدرتش بیشتر از من بود. برای من قدم یک اونجا اتفاق افتاد و ته ذهنم بیادم اومد که گفتم شاید این دفعه ارزش داشته باشه AA رو تجربه کنم. با اینکه من سالها میرفتم تو AA یه توکی میزدم، یه خودم رو نشون میدادم میمدم، ولی هیچ وقت من واقعی برنامه رو تمرین نکرده بودم تو زندگی. و برای من اینجا قدم دو با رفتم به انجمن اتفاق افتاد.
It took me when I got back to my apartment, I had to crawl up a hand over hand up a lamppost in order to get back on my feet. And I staggered back across the street and got into my apartment. And it took me about 6 days or 7 days to get well enough to get out of that apartment, because I'm just shaking violently and I'm sick. I can't swallow anything because I'm going to throw up anything that I put in my mouth. And for 6 days, I was just crawling around on my hands and knees because I couldn't stand up. And it took me about six or seven days to get over that last drunk, not completely get over, but just to feel strong enough that I thought I might be able to get out to a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. And all the time that I was in there during that sickness, all I wanted to do was to get to a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. And finally, on the Saturday of that week, I felt like I might be able to get on the bus and get down to a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. And that's what I did.
Yeah. من موقع که برگشتم بالاخره تونستم مدیریت کنم از اون افکار، رفتم رسوندم خودم رو به خونه. برای 6-7 روز من فقط روی 4 دست پا بودم. نمیتونستم چیزی بخورم، نمیتونستم تکون بخورم، نه آب، نه غذا، هیچ چیز گلوم پایین نمیرفت. و من یه خماری خیلی بدی رو توی 7 روز پس دادم. 7 روز طول کشید بتونم تازه از 4 روتونم بلند شم و مدیریت کنم خودم، برسونم به یه ایستگاه اتوبوسی و برم جلسه AA. و اینجا بود که من برای اول بعد از مدیریت و رفتم خودم برسونم به جلسه AA.
I got down to a meeting and sat through the meeting, and I really don't remember too much of what happened in the meeting, but when the meeting was over, they had two rows of chairs with an aisle in between the rows of chairs. And when the meeting got over and I stood up in the middle of the room, though there were maybe 70 or 80 people in the meeting, I felt completely alone. I felt I couldn't talk to anybody. I didn't know what to do. And I was just standing out in the aisle between the two rows of chairs, and I'm still just shaking violently. And my face is just, I'm very thin because I went down to 140 pounds while I was doing that drinking. I wasn't eating anything. And I weighed 140 pounds. Normally I weigh about 200 pounds. And so I was very sick still. And while I'm standing there and just shaking and looking miserable, and a little man that stands about 4 or 5 inches shorter than me came up and he just looked up at me and he said, "How are you doing?" And of course, our answer around here when somebody says, "How are you doing?" we usually say, "Fine," you know. But that night I couldn't say fine to that man because I was just too sick, and he could see that I was too sick. But I told him three words that I know that no adult human being had ever heard me say. And those three words were, "I need help."
یادم نمیاد توی اون جلسه اصلا چیا میگفتن، هیچ یادم نمیاد. یادمه که دو ردیف صندلی گذاشته بودن، 6-7 نفر جلسه بودن، ولی نشسته بودم به معنای واقعی احساس تنهایی وحشتناکی داشتم. شما اصلا کنید من نتیجه 100 کیلو وزن داشتم، ولی توی این اواخر 30-40 کیلو وزنم رو درسته از دست داده بودم و احساس خیلی ضعفی میکردم و صورتم رو اینجوری قفل شده بود، به هیچ طرفی هم نمیتونستم نگاه کنم از احساسی که به خودم داشتم. و یادمه که یه آقایی که قدش از من کوتاه‌تر بودش خیلی اینا اومد طرف من، البته این قدشون رو میگن یه نوع مثل چیز شوخ طبیعه تو زبان انگلیسی، من قد اون آدم نیست. یه آدم قد کوتاه‌تر از خودم اومدش گفتش که حالت چطوره؟ و من معمولا تو اجتماع ما میگن که حالت چطوره؟ میگیم خدا رو شکر خوبم، عالی هم از این دوگاه. ولی برای اولین بار به معنای واقعی نتونستم میشه بگم، فقط یک کلمه گفتم، گفتم که I need help، سه تا کلمه گفتم، من به کمک احتیاج دارم. Yeah.
That little guy, just when I said that, when I told him I needed help, that little guy just reached out and he just put his arms around me and he just stood there and he held me in the middle of that room. Now, I'm not the kind of guy that normally likes to have men hugging them, but that night when that man hugged me, I knew that it was safe. And they say that Alcoholics Anonymous is a language of the heart, where the heart speaks and the heart listens. And I think that's what happened that night, because that man just looked up at me and he said, I will do anything I can to help you stay sober. And I had heard people say things like that in these Alcoholics Anonymous rooms for 6 years that I've been going in and out of the rooms. For 6 years, I heard people say things like that, and I never believed them, because I know that if somebody's going to give me something, they're going to want something back. And I was always afraid that what they wanted back was going to be too much for me to give, and so I couldn't take their help. But that night, that man's heart spoke. Now, he was practicing his 12th step. He said, I will do anything I can to help you stay sober. And I believe that he would do that and that he would not ask for anything back that I couldn't give to him.
یادم اون آقایی که در مورد شرط میزنیم باید حسابونی بستتون اتاق. بعد منم آدمی نیستم که اجازه بدم مرد مرد رو بغل کنه. ولی توی فرهنگ ما خیلی چیز قشنگی نیست. ولی اینکه این آدم منو بغل کرد و من به معنای واقعی از صمیم قلبم احساس امنیت و سیف بودن میکردم با اون آدم. تو برنامه صحبت میکنیم از زبان دل و اون واقعا میشه من تجربه کردم. اون آقا به من گفت من هر کاری که بتونم برات انجام میدم که تو پاک بمونی. خب من 6 سال تو ای میمادم میرفتم، هیچ وقت باور نداشتم که تو ای به من یه چیزی بدن که چیزی از من نخوام. و اون شب به معنی واقعی من اینو با این دوستم تجربه کردم.
Yeah. This man went on at that night with his practicing his 12th step because he told me, I asked him, what should I do? What am I supposed to do in order to get rid of this disease, this sickness? What he told me was, you have to put these chairs in the rack over by the side of the wall. And he said, you have to go around and pick up the ashtrays and the coffee cups and empty them in the trash cans. And so I did that. I stacked chairs in the rack against the wall and I emptied the ashtrays and the coffee cups. And then I came back to him and said, now what should I do? And he said, there's going to be another meeting here tomorrow night at 8:00. Be here. And that was all he said. And so the next night I came back at 8:00 and he said, there's going to be another meeting tomorrow night at another location. Be there. And what this man did was every time that there was a week, he said, there's going to be a meeting, be there. And he didn't just tell me to go to the meeting. When I got to the meeting, he was always there.
شون میگن که تمرین قدم 12 رو اون شب اون آدم با من کرد. من سوال کردم ازش، گفتم که حالا من باید چیکار بکنم با این وضعیت زندگی و این شرایطی که دارم. گفتش که اوکی، بلندش برو صندلی ها رو از دور میز جمع کن، از جلسه که تمام شده صندلی ها رو جمع کن، برو اون لیوان خاکستر سیگار رو از دور جمع کن، لیوان قهوه رو برو بشور. من رفتم این کار رو کردم. بعد از اون که این کار رو کردم، گفتم حالا باید چیکار کنم. گفتش که فردا شب همینجا ساعت 8 شب، اگه ساعتش یادم بود، فردا شب همینجا جلسه وجود داره. و من دوباره رفتم همین کارا رو دوباره کردم. بعد گفتم خب شب سوم، گفت اوکی اینم یه لوکیشن جدیده، فردا شب میای جلسه میگیری. نکته مهمی که وجود داره اینه که به من نمیگفتش که اوکی برو جلسه که پاک میمونی و هوشیاریت تجربه میکنی. من هر وقت که من میگفتش که این جلسه برو، خودش جلوتر اونجا بود همیشه. Yeah.
Well, we would talk at the meetings before the meeting started, and we would have a chance to talk with each other. And he told me about the way that his drinking ended. He told me how the drinking got worse and worse. And one time when him and his wife were almost ready to be divorced, And so they're going to take a trip with the children in order to try and get back together. And they got in an argument when not soon after they started on the trip. And he got angry at her and left his wife and his family at a gas station and drove off by himself. And he said it was nearly the end of their marriage. And he said it took them a long time before they could get back, before they could get their trust back. And then he asked me to tell him how my drinking ended. And I told him how I had tried to, for 6 weeks to drink myself to death and how I had ended up sitting on that curb, helpless to do anything but crawl up a lamppost to try to get back on my feet.
قبل از عرصه معمولا با من صحبت میکرد. یه روز من گفتش که خب شروع کرد من توضیح دادن که در مورد این که خودش قبلا چجوری الکل مصرف میکرد. و گفتش که چجوری با همسرش میشستن الکل مصرف میکردن. به یه جا رسیدن که منجر شدن که تصمیم به طلاق گرفتن. ولی باز گفتن که بلند شو بریم مسافرت با بچه. بلند شو بریم مسافرت که شاید مسئله مون حل بشه. توی قطار با هم دعوامون شد. توی یه ایستگاهی توی یه دونه بنزین بچه و همسرش رو رها میکنه و میره و اینم آخرین روزش بوده که بالا بعد ظاهرن از ای سفر میاره و اون دوستشون گفتن که خیلی طول کشید که این زن و بچه دوباره من برگردم و من بتونم اعتماد رو دوباره هم دیگه بسازم. بعد من گفت خب شما چی کار میکردی؟ منم توضیح دادم که خب 6 هفته آخر اینجوری بودم، اینقدر گرفتار بودم، ناامید بودم و
What this man did over the next 2 or 3 weeks was just remarkable. It's something that I've never heard anyone talk about. But in about 3 weeks, he took me through all 12 steps of this program of Alcoholics Anonymous. After I told him about sitting on that curb and how the only thoughts in my mind was that I'm not going to die, that alcohol was too strong for me to use it to kill me, and that I thought Alcoholics Anonymous might be able to help to do something if I really gave it a try. And so he kind of zeroed in on that. And our home group, it's the oldest meeting in the city of Los Angeles. It started in 1943. The older members of the group that were still there at that time got sober when AA was new. They got sober in 1940, 1941, 1942. So they had many years of sobriety. And they really cherished all of the steps of this program. I was agnostic at the time, and I was belligerently agnostic. I was out to prove to everybody that there is no such thing as a God. So step three was being a problem for me, because for me, the idea of step three related to a God that my father, who was a preacher, had talked about that I wanted no part of. And so I was having a hard time coming to grips with how a higher power was going to be able to help me.
دو سه هفته طول کشید بعد از اینکه با هم صحبت کردیم منو بردش درد شروع کردیم با هم قدم های دوازدگانه رو کار کردن و من داستانم رو تعریف کردم. از اون روزی که لب جدول نشسته بودم قصه اینو داشتم که مرگ بهترین پاسخه، ولی خب یواش یواش با هم به قدم ها زود رفتیم. یه روزی من رو بردش به یه جلسه که می‌رفتیم، قدیمی ترین جلسه لس آنجلس ما رفتیم که سال 1941 آدم ها پاک شده بودن، موقعی که AA تازه شروع شده بود. آدم هایی بودن که جز نسل اول AA بودن و ما میرفتیم تو اون جلسه و خیلی جالبه که اون اعضایی که خیلی خیلی قدیمی بودن، جز اولین اعضا بودن، خیلی قدم ها رو نشون دادن که چقدر مهمه، چقدر مرکز برنامه است. خیلی این قدم ها رو به عنوان یه چیز شیرین دلربا چریش، نمیدونم معنی فارسیش دقیقا چی میشه، همین حلوا کردن که اونجا میکردن که این چقدر مهمه. ولی من چون فرزند یه سخنران مذهبی بودم، من خیلی حال و حوصله خداوند رو نداشتم و بعد یه مشکلات داشتیم تو قدم دو و سه که توش حرکت کنیم. راستاً من روزگار خیلی غم انگیزی داشتم برای اینکه بتونم با خداوند یک خدایی رو باور کنم.
When I was having a hard time coming to grips with the idea of a higher power, turning my will and my life over to the care of a higher power, because I could find nothing that made any sense to me, finally my sponsor pointed to to some of the old timers that sat down on one, they all sat in one section of the room. And he says, how do all those guys tell you they stay sober? And I said, told him, well, they say they do it with these steps, by taking these steps, by using these principles. And he said, can you think of one reason why they would lie to you? And I thought about it for a moment, and I knew that none of them got paid for doing any of this. I knew that none of them even had any special treatment in the meetings. They didn't have reserved parking places. They didn't have any of the benefits that I could, that in my world, all benefits related to money or some kind of privilege or something like that. And I couldn't find any benefit that they would be getting out of it for lying to me. And so when I got to that point, he said, do you think then, if these steps can keep those people sober for 37, 40 years, that they might be able to keep you sober for 24 hours? And I said, well, they might be able to do that. And he said, okay, then. He said, that's step two. He says, get out of the car. And he took me around to the front of his car, and we were in a parking lot at a restaurant on a busy street in Los Angeles. And he got down on his knees on the parking bumper in front of the car and recited the third step prayer out of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Interesting. من خب باید باور میکردم بالاخره از خداوند رو به یه شکلی باید یه جوری بالاخره باش کنار میمدم. این که یه روزی بعد برای من خونیری برتر یه معنی پیدا میکرد در قدم ها. یه روزی اون راهنما من گفتش که یه سوالی دارم. اون آدمایی که تو اتاق نشستم جز اولین اعضای ای هستن، اینا چطوری پاک موندن 20 سال و 30 سال و 40 سال اون موقع؟ بعد میگه خب بهشون گفتم خب از طریق قدم ها دیگه. گفت خب یه سوال دیگه دارم، تو فکر می‌کنی این اصلا از تو خوششون میاد؟ اصلا چه چیزی هستش تو که اینا به تو علاقه مندن؟ و یا چیزی که منظورشون این بود که چطوری میتونن اینها با تو، چه احساس همسانی و علاقه بین شما و اینها وجود داره؟ من گفتم احتمالا اینا یه قدم هایی رو کار میکنن که پاک موندن. گفت اوکی، پس تو باور داری که اینها یه قدم هایی رو کار میکنن که پاک موندن؟ گفتم بله. گفت از احتمالا نگر قدم ها رو کار کنی 24 ساعت برای تو میتونی پاک مونه. گفتم که بله دیگه، اونجا دیگه ناکد شدم دیگه، نمیتونستم به این بس عملا ادامه بدم. سوار ماشین شدیم و رفتیم یه دوری با هم زدیم و تو ماشین من گفتش اوکی الان وقت قدم دو رو پس باور کردی، الان میشونیم دعای قدم سه رو الان اینجا میخونیم.
He told me that was step two, that the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, the 12 steps of this program that might keep me, if I paid attention to them, if I were true to them. He said, that would be my higher power. The 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous could do something that I couldn't do for myself. And so that became my higher power. And I made a commitment that I would do what the book says to do in the steps. I think it's important to spend just a moment on step four, because he took out a book from the back seat of his car and he put two lines on a spiral notebook so that he had four columns. And he said, you do this, the inventory in four columns. And I think that the fourth step inventory is probably the most important turning point in the whole book, because it's like if you go to a big shopping mall and they have a directory that tells you how to get to different stores. So you can look at the map on the shopping mall and or on a map to go anywhere, and you can see where you want to go. But the map is useless until I can find the arrow that says, you are here. Because when I find the arrow that says, you are here, then I can plan my route to any place in that mall. And the fourth step for me is the you are here point in my life. I had to find out where I was before I could plan anywhere and where I wanted to go.
I haven't heard before. یه چیزی گفتن که من تا حالا نشنیده بودم و مطمئنا خیلی جالبه. این که قدم دوازدهگانه صحبتی که با راهنمام داشتیم به این تفاهم رسیدیم که قدم دوازده قدم داره کار میکنه و یه عده رو من میتونه پاک میگرده و من انتخاب کردم که دوازده قدم نیروی برتر منه و به واسطه همین خیلی تعهد دادم که هر کاری که این کتاب میگه انجام دادم و من وارد قدم چهارم شدیم و چهار تا خط ستون کشید و گفتش که الان وقت ترازنامه‌نویسیه و مهمترین بخشی که دارم. این نکته جالبی که گفتن توی یه مطمئنن همه جا همینطوریه، توی جاهایی یک نقشه وجود داره، اون نقشه رو میگه که نگاه میکنی عملا به هیچ دردی نمیخوره، چون مثلا نمیدونه کجا هستی تا یه نقطه‌ای بشه که شما اینجا هستی، یه فلشی روش میذارن معمولا توی شهر، مثلا میگه شما اینجا هستی، موقعی که فهمیدم اینجا هستم از اون بعد میدونم حالا کجا باید برم. قدم چهار اون فلش منه تو وسط برنامه، من تو قدم چهاره که متوجه میشم که الان دیگه جهتم کدوم بره، اصلا کجای برنامه هستم.
Once my inventory showed me exactly where I was in my life, then the path became much clearer that took me through step five, which I did with my sponsor, step six and seven. My inventory pointed out to me my character defects. It pointed out to me that I was impossible for me to do anything about my character defects, that only a power greater than myself could remove my character defects. And when I got through step seven, as I was doing the seven-step prayer like I was taught to do, I believed that there was some power somewhere in the universe that had an interest in me that was going to help me through this program. And so the step four pointed my way, my direction, planned my route on through the character defects, through the amends, through the learning how to every day touch it, pay base to make sure that I was being honest with myself and honest with the people around me, and how I could do that in the 11th step in order to increase my belief that this program was going to keep me sober.
بعد اینکه قدم چهار نوشتم، خب تو قدم پنجم برایشون خوندم و رفتیم داخلش و از این جهت دوباره قدم چهار برای من نقشه راه بود و اون فلش بود که به من دقیقا نشون میداد که من تو قدم شیش و هفت، قدم شیش چه نواقص اخلاقی دارم و در موردش خیلی به کشف و شهودی کردم، متوجه شدم که نواقص اخلاقی من چه چیزایی. و تو قدم هفت از صمیم قلب من دعا کردم و عمیقا یک چیزی تو این کائنات و یونیورس در این جهان خلقت وجود داره که احتمالا کمک میکنه که من این نواقص اخلاقی دست سر من برداره و خیلی به من کمک کردیم قدم 6 و 7 که دقیقا روزانه بفهم که آدم صادقی هستم، چه کاری میکنم، چه کاری نمیکنم، کیفیت روزم رو برای من میزان کرد.
When I was about 6 months sober and again I'm going to meetings every day, my sponsor had told me that it was a good thing for me to talk to other people with my length of sobriety or newer when I was in the meetings, that I should talk to them as much as I could. And so I was doing that. And we formed kind of a little group that my sponsor and I went to the same meetings 6 days a week, Sunday through Friday. Through Thursday rather. And on Friday, he said, you should go to a meeting by yourself, or he said, with your friends. And he said, explore other meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous. So we did that. We had kind of a crew that we'd go out to different places on meetings. And we'd go someplace, sometimes it'd be seven or eight of us all together that go to a meeting. And when we'd end up in a meeting kind of in a group like that, then that would give us a chance to talk to other people in that group. It'd kind of give us an introduction so that then we could share our stories with other people in the group without feeling self-conscious having been there by ourselves.
من 6 ماه شما صاحب این من هر روز جلسه می‌رفتم و 6 روز هفته با راهنما می‌رفتیم، یه جلسه رو با هم می‌رفتیم و خب به من خیلی چیز می‌داد، من این هول می‌داد، منو اید چی تشویق میکرد که برم با دیگران حرف بزنم. میگفت حرف زدن چیز خوبیه، با آدم ها حرف بزن، در جایگاه پاکی با هوشیاری که هستی سعی کن با آدم ها ارتباط برقرار کن با آدم های دیگه. و بالاخره بعد از 6 روز یواش یواش که بودای جامعه دیگه، از این به بعد خودت باید بری جلسات رو. هفته یه روز بعد دیگه خودت بری. خب من رفتم این کار کردم توی گروهی که کلن 6-7 نفر بودیم، هی اونا هی رابطه برقرار کردم، هی حرف زدم، تقریبا تبدیل شدیم به یه گروه واقعی که یک راه نقشه راه مشخصی داشتیم برای اینکه خیلی آگاه بودیم به مسائلمون، بر قالب اینکه پاک بمونیم و از این بعد می‌خوام چیکار بکنیم.
When I was about just about 6 months sober. And at that time in Los Angeles, at the central office for Alcoholics Anonymous maintained a list of people who were signed up to do 12-step work. And that was whenever somebody would call in, somebody would knew would call the office and need help with their drinking. Those of us that were on the 12-step call list would be called to go out and to talk to these people and to share our stories with them and to try to get them to a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. And so my sponsor took me down and signed me up for that. And it wasn't long after that that I'd had my first crisis. It was a financial thing because I hadn't gone back to work yet. I'm about 6 months sober. Fortunately, I'd had some little money put away, but my money was running out and I was worried about it. And I had some problems. So I called my problem and I'm complaining to him and complaining to him. And he says, okay, he says, I'm going to pick you up at 7:30. He says, I think we can take care of this. And so he came and picked me up at 7:30 and we started headed out towards downtown Los Angeles. And I said, where are we going? And he said, we're going to the psych ward at General Hospital. And I thought, oh my God, he's going to have me committed because he thinks I've lost my mind.
توی لس آنجلس یک شروع برای اولین بار لیست آدم هایی که 12 قدمی هستن رو تهیه کردن که میتونن ببخشید لیست افرادی که میتونن قدم 12 رو انجام بدن تهیه کردن و یه سرویس رو به نام سرویس تلفن شروع کردن که آدم ها میتونن زنگ بزنن درخواست کمک بکنن بگن که مشکل مشروب‌خواری دارن و اینها که بهشون کمک بشه. برای اولین بار اتفاق می افتاد و منم توی اون مسئله درگیر شدم. یه روزی بعد از 6 ماه پاکی به اولین بحران زندگی پاکی روبرو شدم و اونم این بود که یک مشکل مالی خیلی بزرگی برام به وجود اومد و اونم به خاطر این بود که خب من 6 ماه بود تازه اومدم تو پروگرام و اینها از پسندازم استفاده می‌کردم و اینا نگران بی‌پولی بودم که یه روزی راهنمام گفت درستش میکنیم، نگران این مسئله بیپولیت نباش. 7:30 بعد از ظهر من گفت میام یه جای سوار ماشینت میکنم. رفتیم، گفتم خب کجا داریم میریم؟ گفت دارم میریم بیمارستان. گفتم که فکر کنم من گول زده داره میبره اونجا، یه من اونجا نگر دارن یه کاری بکنن، بستری بکنن.
He wasn't going to have me committed. What he was doing is he was taking me on a panel. There were 4 other people that also were there. So there were 6 of us that went to the psychiatric ward at this big hospital. And it was a very secure place. They had the double locked doors where you go in. They were bound and determined they weren't going to let anybody escape from there. And we went into this room with about 30 of these inmates who were locked in there. It was a little bit scary for me because to be locked in with people who were known to be crazy. And the leader of the panel was a man who's well known around here for those years that was having had a lot of psychiatric problems himself. And he sat down at the beginning of that meeting and he looked at all the people and he says to them, he says, I'm probably the craziest person in here. He says, I know that. He says, I'm crazier than any one of you. But when this meeting's over, they're going to open those doors over there and they're going to let me out and I'm going to go free and they're going to lock you back up in here again. And do you know where they're going to lock you back up and they're going to let me go? And they're all sitting there kind of shaking their heads. And I'm thinking they're going to kill us with them talking like that. And he says, the reason they're going to let me go and they're going to lock you up and say, because you act crazy and I don't. And I thought, man, these people are not going to like that, but they're all standing there shaking their heads and agreeing with them.
یه روزی رفتم سمت اون بیمارستان و بعد تو اون بیمارستان یه پنلی بود، من نمیدونستم، گفتم ببینم یه پنلی است. رفتیم تو بخش روانی بیمارستان، جایی بودش که 2 قفله بود و خیلی از بیماری‌های آدمای روانی اونجا نگهداری می‌کردن. ما رفتیم داخل یه اتاقی که بالاخره 30 تا از اینا اونجا بودن و من قفل کرده بودم که الان چه اتفاقی می‌خواد بیفته. بعد اون مدیر اون پنلی که نشسته بود یکی از همینا بود که توی زاران پروگرام بوده و این مشکلات رو میشناخت. ما هم نشستیم اونجا و بالاخره با اینا کاری که رفته بودیم انجام بدیم انجام دادیم. آخر سر بهش گفته، به من گفتش که حالا این احتمالاً داستان بقیه داره، چون به من گفتش که احتمالاً اگر اینکه ما رو اینجا رها کنن و از این حالت پنل در بیان بیرون، تنها کسی که اینجا قراره که میتونن اگه بخوان نگرش دارن تو هستی اینجا باید نگرت دارن توی بیمارستان. گفتم چرا؟ گفتش که تو مثل آدم های بیمونه رفتار میکنی. برای من خیلی عجیب بود. Right?
Over the next two or three years, we went to a lot of panels like that. But my sponsor and I started doing things. I started being elected secretary of different meetings and things like that. And my sponsor impressed upon me that being of service in the group, that being secretary, being treasurer, making copy, all of these are things are important because they enhance my feeling of belonging to the meeting. But he said that's not really 12-step work. He says 12-step work is one alcoholic talking to another. He says 12-step work is what you do before the meetings and after the meetings with other people in the meetings. And he says 12-step work is when you go out and you go on one of these panels and you find somebody in that audience who makes eye contact with you and you talk to one person, one alcoholic talking to another. And when we left that meeting at the psych ward, as I was walking out of the room, there's a lady who was sitting there in a wheelchair and had her cast on her leg propped up. And as I walked by her wheelchair, she just reached out and grabbed me by the arm. And I tell you, it just scared the hell out of me because, you know, I'm in this psych ward that's got me terrified already. And here's one of them grabbing me by the arm. And she just held on for about maybe 5 or 10 seconds. It seemed like an hour, but it was just a short period of time. Then she let go of my arm and we went on out.
من برای 2-3 سال آینده به خاطر این صحبت که کرده بودن برای 2-3 سال آینده رفتم جای مختلفی برای پنل منشی جلسات مختلفی بودم نشریات زیادی رو کپی میکردم موقع در دسترس آدم دیگه قرار میدادم ولی این به من خیلی کمک کرد که احساس تعلق کنم ولی نکته جالب که راهنمای من گفتش که این کاری که تو داری میکنی قدم 12 نیست قدم 12 موقعی که یک الکلی با یک الکلی دیگه در قالب کمک رسانی بشینن صحبت کنن این کاره که تو جلسه میکنید و قبل و بعدش باز هم قدم 12 نیست. موقعی که شما باید بری پنل های مختلف یه روزی تو این پنل هایی که آدم هایی که حالا بیمارستان های روانی یا هر جایی که هستن مستعسلن یه دونه از اینا پیدا میشه که از مدل تو یا شرایط تو میاد به تو طرف تو نزدیک میشه و تو تمه کسی هست میتونی اون کمک کنی. یه مدت ها من این پنل میرفتم یه روزی توی همین پنل ها که تموم شد توی اون خون مرکز بیماری های روانی یه خانمی که روی ویلچر بود یهو در حال رفتن یهو دست من رو گرفت صفر چسبید و من وحشت داشتم کلیه 10 ثانیه نگه داشت ولی برای من 1 ساعت طول کشید این احساس و حالا بقیش رو باید تعریف میکنم
yeah. Okay, I started being elected secretary at different meetings, and finally my home group with all those old timers in it, they asked me if I would sign cork cards at the podium at the end of the meeting, because there'd be every week there'd be maybe 20 or 30 people that had, and it was a big meeting that had been sent there by the courts or by their bosses or somebody to go to Alcoholics Anonymous. And this is one night I'm standing there and I'm signing cork cards at the podium, and a lady comes up and stands up to the side of the podium, just stood there quietly. And so while I'm signing, so finally I stopped and I said, is there something that you need? Is there something I can help you with? And she says, you probably don't remember me, because she's a very nicely dressed. She was in her business clothes and all that, and she looked very nicely dressed. And she says, you probably don't remember me, but she said about 3 years ago, you came to the General Hospital Psych Ward, and she said, with another group, and she said, I heard what you said, and she says, I haven't. That was the first time that I ever heard anything that made any sense to me, and I haven't had a drink since. And that was my first lesson in knowing that I don't know who's going to hear something that I say. My job in making 12-step work is just to speak my truth, to tell my story honestly, and to use my higher power as a guide to my words. And that I don't know who's going to be helped, but if I do that honestly, that then my higher power will decide who's going to be helped by my words.
What happened to that lady? She grabbed your hand in the sidecar.
That was the lady who stood by the podium and asked me the question. She was all recovered. She looked like she was a business lady. She looked like she was very well squared away, and as a result of the program.
اون خانم بالاخره دستشون گرفتن و گفته من کمک کنم، بالاخره اونجا دیگه مجبور شدن اون مخفی دستا بیان بیرون و دیگه. بعد من شروع کردم همینجوری پنل ها رو رفتن و رفتن و جای مختلف و جلسات مختلف صحبت کردن 3 سال و یه روزی توی جلسه که همه آدم های محترمی که کمپانی ها و شرکت ها و دادگاه ها و اینها آدم ها رو میفرستدن بنا به دلایل خاصی تو جلسه یا اصلا تو اونجا کار میکردن، همه آدم های خیلی شب و شیک و پیک که یادمی که توی اونجا یه خانمی اومد گفتش که احتمالا تو منو نمیشناسی، گفتم که نه، گفتش که گفت مثل یه خانم اقتصاددان بودش و موقعی که گفتش که من همون خانمی هم که تو بیمارستان بودم و 3 سال پیش که تو اومدی اونجا صحبتهایی که کردی یه چیزی تو صحبتهای تو بود که کمک کرد من از اون روز تا حالا من دیگه الکل نخوردم. این برای من قدم 12 که داستانم رو بگم همونجوری که هست، نقش خداوند رو، کارکرد قدم‌ها رو و این در قالب این داستان ما نمیدونیم که خداوند چه کسی قراره که این پیام از طریق ماها بگیره و ما فقط این که انجام میدیم و تا پیام رو یک کسی دریافت.
I've been sober now for almost 40 years and I never came to Alcoholics Anonymous to stay sober for 40 years. I never came to Alcoholics Anonymous looking for a higher power. I never came to Alcoholics Anonymous even looked to stop with a desire to stop drinking. It says that the only requirement for membership is the desire to stop drinking. I think that means that if I'm going to be a member, I have to have a desire to stop drinking, but my desire to stop drinking came after I had already stopped drinking. I knew that for the first 4 or 5 years of my sobriety, I drank, I came to this program, I did all the things because I was afraid of going back to that curb where I'd ended up at the end of my drinking. After about 5 years, I realized that I wasn't afraid of that anymore, that I was doing these things because I liked what was happening in my life. And I love talking with alcoholics. I love talking with newer alcoholics. I have people that I sponsor and I tell them, just like my sponsor told me, you don't have to do any of these things that I suggest that you do. The only thing you have to know is that if you don't do them, there's a good chance that you're going to end up right back where at the point that got you here in the first place.
I'm not sure how much time we have. I think it's a few days ago. Right?
Hello, I'm Nastan. Birunan. تیم کام 5 دقیقه دیگه.
اینکه من خیلی ممنون. من 40 ساله که الان نزدیک 40 ساله که هوشیارم. من نیومدم تو برنامه که 40 سال پاک بمونم و هوشیار بمونم. من اصلا دنبال نیروی برترم نیومده بودم. من فقط اومده بودم که قطع مصرف کنم و عضویت من طبق میگن تنها لازمه عضویت تمایل به قطع مصرف الکل، من فقط این تمایل داشتم. تازه عضویت من موقعی شروع شد که من قطع مصرف کردم و عضو این تمایل همچنان ادامه داره. من عاشق صحبت کردم با الکلی‌های دیگه هستم. من راهنما هستم و سعی میکنم با آدم‌هایی که تو برنامه سرورم قرار میگیرن همون جمله راهنما بگم. میگم که تو مجبور نیستی این قدم‌ها رو انجام بدی، ولی اگر قدم‌ها رو انجام ندی احتمال این که برگردی تو زندگی قبلی خیلی زیاده. Now, ask from Secretary how much we have time left. We have 5 minutes to just wrap it up.
Okay, I can wrap it up quicker than that, I think, because my sincere prayer for each and every one is that you never have to take another drink the rest of your life, as I know I never have to take a drink the rest of my life. And I mean have by the meaning that you're not compelled to. I was compelled to drink because there was the only thing that could keep me alive at the end of my drinking. And I know I don't ever have to take another drink. And I know that as long as I keep doing these things that I do today on a daily basis, I will never have a desire to take another drink. Not only will I not have to, I will never have a desire to. And that is my prayer for each one of you, that you can come to the point that you know that you'll never have to take another drink of alcohol the rest of your life. Thank you.
Thank you. I really appreciate you coming back. Yeah, well, keep coming back. و من دعای عمیقم برای شما امروز اینه که شما و دعا و آرزوی من اینه که من شما به هیچ عنوان و به هیچ عنوان دوبار این جمله رو اول و آخر تکرار کردم که به هیچ عنوان مجبور نیستید که دوباره الکل بخورید. من مجبور بودم که الکل بخورم چون برای زندگی کردن راه حل دیگه ای نداشتم. من برای زندگی کردن و زنده موندن الکل می‌خوردم. تا وقتی که برنامه AA رو من انجام بدم احتمالاً اون تمنا و میلم برای مصرف الکل فروکش می‌کنه. و باز هم آرزو می‌کنم که شما این باور داشته باشید که ما هیچ وقت دیگه مجبور نیستیم که الکل بخوریم. I really appreciate you half the group and the really good share, and I'm just going to pass the meeting to the secretary. Thank you, TY. All the best.